Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Bradley Wiggins Show by Eurosport, brought to you by Zwift. Find your fun with the cycling app where fun is fast. Bradley Wiggins, quarantine nears the end for us in the Ardèche.
Yeah, I can't wait to get on the tour.
Looking forward to getting on the bike as well, following absolutely. The peloton being part of the action.
I haven't missed it this weekend watching Bernie do it in the rain. It looked cold out there, even for everyone, all the crew and all the people on the bikes and stuff, but it looked miserable. But I think the weather's due to be good next week, and we're down here in the course near Orange and all these places, Mont Ventoux, and it'll be a brighter week anyway because I'm on the tour.
So thank you, Bernie, is what we're saying.
Thank you, Bernie, for
taking
the
a miserable first week as far as the weather was concerned, but an epic first week.
Unbelievable. To think it's 1 week only we've done. We've got 2 weeks left of the race, and the field is decimated.
Yeah.
I mean, it is absolutely decimated. The last 2 days, it's been hard to follow it, really, because where everyone is on the road.
Exactly.
Because there's just not enough cameras, and the racing's been frantic from the start, and I've not seen a race like it, a Tour de France like it, to be honest. And again, Pogacar extending his lead, and a worthy winner today as well, in Ben O'Connor. What a fantastic ride he did.
A brilliant ride from Ben O'Connor, coming into Teen after a stage that took in the first all-category climb of the race, two Cat 1 climbs, two Cat 2 climbs, and coming in 5 minutes ahead of his nearest rival. He stuck with Nairo Man, Quintana, and Aguita from EF for a long time today. Yeah. And then when he decided to break away on his own, there was no catching him.
Yeah, and I was surprised. Quintana was looking strong to that point. He was challenging Walt Powells for the King of the Mountains early on, but he obviously did it too much. And lots of guys getting cold on the descent today. I saw some clips from Adam Blythe's stories on his Instagram and Julian Alaphilippe and the like. Lots of people stopping to put fresh clothes on. So it was very cold out there. I think it dropped to sort of 7 degrees over the top of the climb, so incredibly tough day for all the riders out there, and lots of people really struggling with that.
How did you deal with the weather when it was like that?
Terrible.
You weren't so good in the wet.
I really
the cold.
Struggled with the cold, cold hands, cold feet.
What was it that would keep you going at times?
At times, I can't remember, to be honest. You've got no option but to keep going. It's the Tour de France, or it's whatever race you're in. You've got to get to the finish line. That's what you're paid to do, and that's what you're there for, and hope that the day after is going to be a better day. I mean, we saw Geraint Thomas today. Much, much better day for Geraint. Brilliant to see him up there. I'm really pleased for him, actually, because I think it'd have been a shame if he'd left the race, and there's a lot more to come from him. He could pick up a stage with the way he was going today.
Mm. Do we expect to see that from him when the race picks up again next week?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. He's proved yesterday, we don't quite know what happened yesterday, but it took a lot of recovery from what happened last week when he dislocated his shoulder. But I think Geraint, he's such a class act that he'll look to get something from this race. And he's got the opportunity now to try and get a stage win.
We saw questions from some quarters asking, albeit tongue-in-cheek, why he was still in the race when we've seen...
Was it tongue-in-cheek, though? I thought it was a bit disrespectful, to be honest.
Did you?
Yeah, and that's typical of that journalist, he's very sort of facetious at times. And I feel quite, as someone of Geraint's stature and what he's done in the sport, and to see what he did today, that's why he carried on, and I thought it was a stupid question. And Geraint is a legend of the sport, and he's one of our best cyclists we've ever produced. And British fans want to see Geraint in the race. Why should he go home? So, how about well done, Geraint, for what you have done up to this point? You're a f***ing hard and, hopefully he picks a stage with him, So, yeah, a bit of a stupid line of questioning, but that's to be expected from some quarters.
Brad, we're fortunate to be sponsored by Zwift, where fun is fast, but it also unlocks performance. Great app, but we use it in very different ways, don't we?
We do. I mean, I tend to go on sometimes with my son now and just try and keep up with him, really. And it's a way of riding together and grouping up with other people, maybe a few people, friends that live in London, if I'm up north or vice versa, because You know, you can't always get on the roads with people. I've been on there with Matt Stevens, and I've also done some live Zwift sessions through Le Col and caught up with the likes of Victor Campenaerts and Fabian Cancellara on it. So it's a great tool.
I'm a big fan of being able to get on there at short notice without having to organise a group ride in real life, if you like, and just buzz it around with a few mates.
Yeah, there's always someone on there that's willing to ride, even if, you know, it's a good way of making new mates.
It is. Even if your mates aren't about, there's group rides, a massive community of pros on there, people exactly like, well, exactly like me, exactly like you.
And I believe there's some Olympic-inspired routes on there, isn't there, Graeme?
There are. You can explore the Mercury Islands to get you geared up, ready for the Olympics.
And I believe there's a 7-day free trial available.
Well, just in time for the Olympics, there's a 7-day free trial, a special offer. Find out more, download the app today.
We have seen Mathieu van der Poel and Primoz Roglic leave the race today. Neither started. Yeah. Van der Poel got kitted up and basically came down to explain himself before saying, look, I've done all I can. I've given all I can to keep the yellow jersey for as long as possible. I'm off to go and concentrate on the Olympics.
Yeah, and I think he's, you know, we could make an exception to Mathieu. You know, I think he's got bigger fish to fry. You know, he's done what he came to the Tour de France to do. He's given us so much joy that first week. He's now switching codes, if you like, and trying to do something in mountain biking, which Peter Sagan tried to do 4 years ago. Mm. And it'll be, I wouldn't put it past him winning an Olympic gold medal, which would be fantastic for him.
I imagine he must be the favourite, as might Primoz Roglic be for the Vuelta now. Is that what we can expect him to focus on next?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's a shame to see him go. He's a great guy, great rider. And again, he's been such a consistent performer in the sport. You know, week-long stage races all season. I mean, we saw him Paris-Nice earlier in the year, didn't we? And it's a real shame to see him leave the race as it is. But that's the sport, you know. You have to take the rough with the smooth. And he clearly gave his all, and he just hasn't got it after the effects of that crash.
Back to Ben O'Connor, just to dwell on his win. AG2R, an important win for them. Very quiet this tour. Important for a French team on the Queen stage too.
It is, yeah. And he done it in such style as well. I mean, he won by 5 minutes and came close to taking the yellow jersey, but he's now up there. He's a new name to contend with on the GC, isn't he? As to whether he can now produce something the next couple of weeks, not to challenge for the race, because I can't see anyone challenging Pogacar. Yeah. He's just looking in an unassailable position. But a new name of the sport, a new name to contend with. He's won a stage at the Giro, obviously, but...
Won the stage to Madonna di Campiglio.
Yeah.
He's well used to winning the big mountain stages, yeah, well absolutely. Capable. Only got a contract at AG2R very late in the winter.
Did he? I didn't know that.
Sean Kelly on commentary was saying that can motivate a rider when you've come so close to not having a World Tour season ahead of you, that actually when you do sign that contract, it can really light a fire underneath you.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not for the want of trying or... any reflection on who you are as a bike rider or how you are as a bike rider. I think contracts were thin on the ground last year with everything that happened. It was late into the season. The Giro was in October and he won that stage. And yeah, I think it was just, you know, he's paid his team back admirably, hasn't he, for that with a stage win. So yeah, good on him. You know, it's nice to see a rider who, as you say, yeah, nearly didn't have a contract last year, come back and win a stage.
Lovely quote from him. After his win, he basically said, when you've got the time on your side, you know that if you keep steady at the end there, when you've got so much time on the guys behind you, you know you're going to win a stage of the Tour de France. And he said, all sorts of things happen to your mind, your heart, your lungs. It can make your heart stop. And it definitely made mine stop just before.
Yeah.
Do you ever get that feeling? When you knew in the TTs in 2012, you were going to win.
Can't remember. I remember going into the last... 5K to go in the last time trial, and you had that gap. You start thinking about lots of things, people that helped you get there, and that family and things. Yeah, I think it was. I can resonate with that in some ways. I wouldn't say my heart stopped, but definitely, you start reflecting when you've got time.
Yeah. It was also nice to see him fist bumping his team car.
Yeah. I think that was more the team car coming up for the reflective glory, wasn't it?
At least they could appreciate the moment with him. As we said, important for a French team. Bernie called him an absolute weapon, O'Connor.
Oh, I think it's a bit disrespectful. He's not that much of a tool.
talking about his effectiveness in the cold and wet.
Yeah, I mean...
For a man from Perth as well.
Yeah. It was savage today, and there's not many riders that could have coped with those temperatures and that those weather conditions like he did. And still, the way he was going at the end, he was still firing along with all cylinders. You know, he was... Yeah, I mean, it just didn't seem to affect him at all, really. And so many people fell by the wayside today due to the conditions, and he wasn't one of them. And
we've seen Wout plummet out of the top 10 on GC overall. So he's O'Connor's 2 minutes behind. He's Pogacar's nearest competitor. Having been at times on the road, he was in the virtual yellow jersey, and then he was out when UAE started riding.
So what's the time
O'Connor is 2 minutes, 1 second behind on GC. Then we've got Rigoberto Urán, EF Education Nippo at 5:18, and then Jonas Vingegaard, Team Jumbo-Visma.
Yeah,
he's become their main man at 5:32. Yeah. Then Richard Carapaz at 5:33. We saw a bit. Well, we saw Ineos winding up today, didn't we?
Yeah, but to no avail again. You know, and G did that. So it shows you, as I was saying earlier. I don't know. I can't see anyone challenging him from there. They will go nowhere when he moves. That's the Alps done. He's got a strong team. That team rode amazing today as well.
Mm.
Brandon McNulty rode off the road. I don't know where he was going. So they'd have had another rider there, wouldn't they, as well?
That was a crazy crash. And we think he's okay because he sort of got it under control. But going off the road on the descent.
Yeah, I think he just looked over and didn't really see where he was going. But, I mean, those things happen, don't they? But, it's just a sheer dominance, really. And even French TV was saying that's the tour done. I don't think it's done, dusted. You know, anything can happen, as we've seen in this race. But when the road goes upwards, at the moment, man for man, there's just no one other than, I would say, G looked the best today out of everyone in that group.
Mm.
I mean, you think where he's come from. I don't think this race is over for G yet.
Mm.
I know, maybe it is for GC, definitely. But it'd be nice to see Ineos spread their numbers a bit. We didn't see Teo much today, and let G maybe go up the road, because G is capable of doing something like Ben O'Connor did.
Mm.
And that is something you're not used to seeing from a Team Sky or an Ineos point of view. So it'd be lovely to see that at some point.
Well, that's all they've got left now, isn't it? Is attacking for stage wins.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess they have, really.
Carapaz, as I said there, Ineos wound it up. Carapaz attacked. Then we saw Pogacar go over the top of him. When he turns on the rocket boosters like that, no one can stay with him.
Nothing.
Like
no
you said.
Got anything.
Putting more time into his GC contenders today. It feels like he's riding a different race to the rest of the peloton. And when that happens, questions start to be asked about whether or not he's doping.
Well, I don't know if they have been asked, have they? I mean, I raised the point last night with you saying it's funny how it's always Ineos that face those questions whenever there's a performance like that. And Chris Froome and people like when he did that a few years ago in Vontu. And they don't seem to be raised with Pogacar, and I don't think they should be raised. You know, I think it's he's a phenomenon of the sport, but it always seems to follow the sport around. You know, those things is still, you know, someone does something exceptional in the Tour de France and it's put down to one thing automatically. So it was an observation that I don't know if there's undercurrents. I'm not on Twitter. I don't really follow that world. So I'm sure there is on there, because there always is.
Of course.
It's a pretty f***ed up world, isn't it, Twitter? Full of f***ed up people.
it certainly can be.
Well, it certainly is.
I mean, he's been remarkably consistent ever since he broke onto the scene, winning the Tour of California. Yeah. But, you know, we've seen him win the Tour last year, of course.
We saw him at the Vuelta a few years ago. We were at the Vuelta when he was, you know, lighting it up there. I think he won three stages.
And he's taken Tirreno this year. That sort of consistency, you can trust that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take me back to when you started facing these questions, because there's a great Lance quote.
Yeah.
This is one of my favourites.
No, I mean, mine was particularly was with Paul Kimmich, you know, who was a very angry little man anyway. But he, I can't remember exactly what the situation was, but I just sort of, I can't remember how it arose, but Kimmich always had something to say about anyone, you know. I don't know why he follows the sport, to be honest. I don't know, you know. I was chatting to Lance the next day and said, he said, I read your comments, what you said about Kimmich. And he goes, you see the kind of I've been having to put up with over the years. This was in 2009. Yeah, and then we all know what happened afterwards. But I mean,
yeah. Give it to us in the Lance accent. Come on. Come on, man.
See the kind of shit I've been having to put up with for the last few years? Tree-hugging mother.
Elsewhere on the road today, a lot to process. I mean, Rob Hatch said on commentary, we were expecting or hoping for another day of glorious madness, and that's summed up this first nine stages of the Tour this year, really. A lot going on with O'Connor's stage win and being virtually in the yellow jersey, then out again, UAE attacking. But there was a lot going on at the back of the race as well, making the calculation as to whether or not Mark Cavendish's group were going to make the time cut, and so that he can continue his quest for the green jersey, and whether Arnaud Démare, FDJ, was going to do the same. Cav has made it.
Good lad.
Cav's well looked after. this time around, isn't
he? Yeah, yeah, he was. I mean, I saw him getting dropped on the first climb and he had three or four guys around him.
And it was the same yesterday too.
Yeah, so they obviously want to get him through, don't they? Because that green jersey competition, you know, it's a realistic chance he can win that. So they want to try and nurse him through this tour. And we didn't see that the other year when he got eliminated. He was left on his own, wasn't he, the whole stage. So it shows the difference that a team makes to you, committed to the cause and committed to Mark as well. And it shows that he was lacking in a team front a couple of years ago when he was riding, and he's back in his rightful place, and rightly so.
Sonny Colbrelli up three places on the green jersey on the points competition. Finished third today. We saw him take the intermediate sprint, fiercely battle out with Michael Matthews. Deviated from his sprint line.
He did.
The entire width of the road, going from left to right in an effort, shut Colbrelli out.
Yeah, Brian Smith was quite harsh about it and said he should be disqualified, but I don't think he was. And it's the consistency, I think, Brian was trying to get at, is that, you know, that we've seen less deviation and lines and things over races in the past, and people have been docked and relegated for it. And maybe there's less interest or less importance on the intermediate sprints from a commissar's point of view to do that. But it's certainly, the gap opened at the last minute for him. But yeah, he did an amazing ride today, Colbrelli. He was still up there on the final climb at Tina. I think he finished top 10 on the stage.
Finished third on the stage, yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Good.
Going into the rest day then, a chance for us all to take a breath. Much needed.
Yeah.
For the GC men as much as anyone else.
I think
everyone
needs a rest. I think the mechanics, the staff. I mean, it feels like we've done 3 weeks of the tour.
Mm.
It's been savage, and it's been... I don't remember a tour like it for a long time. It's been a brutal Tour de France, and much needed rest for everyone, I think.
Mm. Mm.
And then we're on the race after that, so... then it's going to go up a level. They will need a rest next rest day when we're there.
Well, we look forward to that. That's it for this episode of The Bradley Wiggins Show by Eurosport, brought to you by Zwift. Explore, train and compete on the cycling app where fun is fast. Thank you, Brad.
Cheers.
Gearing up to get on the bike. Thank you to our producer, Pete Burton. You can follow Eurosport on Twitter at Eurosport_UK. Plus, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. Download, subscribe and share us wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.